Praise the Lord, and I just want to thank my pastor for allowing me to preach on a Wednesday night. Amen. What a tremendous privilege. Amen. And I don't count it lightly. Thank you, Pastor. So let's go ahead and get started, and I believe we're going to get some words on the screen, and I'm going to read just two verses, and then we can sit down. Is that okay? Come on, just stretch. Some of you guys, when you stretch, you're like, you hear all kinds of things cracking, right? I turn my neck and it sounds like an Uzi. Come on, somebody. So we're going to read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Give me a loud amen when you get there. Or, of course, we have it on the screens. Amen. If there's any way, amen. NIV is awesome. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. The Bible reads in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." Somebody say, be changed. "By the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Amen. You can go ahead and give your neighbor a high five. Tell him it's time for a change. And you can go ahead and have a seat here tonight. Amen. It's time for a change. The title of my message tonight is Changes. Amen. There are many different kinds of changes. Some of you ladies had about 16 changes before you finally figure out what you wanted to wear tonight. I had a change. Amen. My beautiful wife, Michelle, was not home when I was getting ready for church. And so what I've learned is if my beautiful wife, Michelle, is not home, then I always make sure whatever I'm going to wear, I go out, we run the discipleship home. Sister Natalie lives with us. She's very fashionable. And I ask her, "Natalie, do you think Sister Michelle would approve of me wearing this to church tonight?" And she said, "No, that shirt is way too big for those pants." I said, "Amen." And I went and changed my shirt. Thank you. I appreciate it. And if you think, hey, Pastor Pat has any kind of style, it is all honor and glory due to my wife. Amen. For I've been changed, and she now decides what I wear. So can I get an amen from the fellas? Amen. Can I get an amen for the fellas that did not pick out what they're wearing tonight? Just kidding. Changes. I've been going through some changes. And I'm not going to talk about myself all night, but I got one story. I got to get off my chest because I've been going through some changes. I went to the doctor, and you know what? I've been having some back issues. So I go in for some x-rays. Long story short, they said it's not that bad, but your L whatevers, there's one that's kind of littler than the rest, whatever, right? I'm not sure what they're talking about. But what the doctor said in a nice term was, "This will all fix itself when you lose weight." It'll all be all right. All you got to do. Now, keep in mind, this was about 3 weeks ago, whatever. And, you know, and if you're starting a diet, when is the best time to start a diet? Next week. That's always the best time. It's next week. Isn't that right? Where are you going to start? I'm going to start next week, right? Next week. And it was night. And you know what? It happened to be this week. And so I'm grumpy because I haven't eaten what I want to eat. And it might come out tonight. So I apologize in advance. But it's like we need them. If we want to see change, then we have to make changes. Somebody tell your neighbor changes. Tonight I'm talking about some changes. The first thing we have to change, and if you can leave the scriptures up there, let's go to Romans 12. We'll leave it up there till we change it. Talking about changes. The first thing we have to change is we have to change our perspective. The Bible reads, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy. What the Apostle Paul is talking about here is in view. He says, therefore. This is it right here. Therefore, and we're going to be talking about being transformed. He says, in view of God's mercy, which means you have to see the plan of salvation for your life. Then we're talking about God's mercy. You have to understand that because of God's plan for your life, because of the plan of salvation and the plan of freedom, you have to make changes. In view of God's mercy, you might be saying, but I don't want to make changes. I like the way I am. I like the things that I do. I like to talk the way I talk. I like the little issues and the sins or the compromises. I like all those things. They feel nice and fuzzy to my flesh. Come on, somebody. I don't want to change. But listen, if you would see and say, in view of God's mercy, in view of the plan of God to bring salvation and freedom to my life, I have to make changes. I gotta make changes. If I want the plan of God's mercy, if I want salvation for my life, if that's something that I think that I want, I need to make changes. So Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and if you could put it on the screen. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. If you guys can keep up with me tonight. Let's see, I'm going to put him on the spot. Amen. We'll just flip through the Bible. All right, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 reads like this. For the wages of sin is death. Let me read that again. The Bible reads, for the wages, oh, thanks, I appreciate it, guys. Better late than never. For the wages of sin is death. Right? Thank God it didn't end there. I see a comma and a good thing for us. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? This is the view of God. Therefore, looking at in view of God's mercy. Why? Because the wages of sin is death, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Right? So we see here, we're talking about change. The first thing we have to change is our perspective to see that we have to line our lives up with the Word of God and the plan of God so we can receive God's plan for mercy and salvation for our lives. Right? We have, in order for us to achieve that and walk in that and walk in His promises and walk in His goodness and His salvation, we have to look through the eyes. We have to view God's plan for mercy for our lives. Not only for salvation, but for freedom. If you go to Psalms 118, verse 5. Not just for salvation, but for freedom. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. When hard pressed, when you were going through the deepest, darkest, when you were hard pressed, you received freedom through Christ. When you were in the gutter, come on somebody, I know who I'm talking to. When you were at the least and the worst and you had nowhere else to go, you burnt every bridge, you went through, you did everything, but thank be to God, when you were hard-pressed, that he gave you freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. And see, what the Apostle Paul was talking about right here is that is how we have to view. We have to view God's mercy in order to make the changes in our life. If not, why are we going to change? Right? Why would we make changes in our life if we didn't understand the plan of God for our lives, which was to give us salvation and to give us freedom? Salvation and freedom. Sometimes that's why people can't walk in their salvation and walk in freedom, is because they don't understand the plan of God for their lives. The plan of God is a good plan. It's a good plan. It's filled with purpose and fulfillment. It's filled with love and meaning the desires of your heart. The plan of God is a good plan. But you cannot have the plan of God and not walk according to the word of God. Amen? So first we have to change our perspective. It's all in the way that we look at things. Amen? It's all in the way that we perceive things. Imagine if David saw the giant for a giant, right? Who in their right mind, right, as a young boy would fight a big, probably hairy, I don't know, I'll look it up, right? Who? But see, his perspective wasn't on the giant, because the giant wasn't a giant, his God was the giant, right? You pick who the giant in your life is. Is the giant the opposition, or is the giant your God? Right? Your perspective should change from I can't to God will. To change from I can't to God will. You might say, I can't stop drugs, but God will set me free. I can't pay my bill. God will provide. I can't make it. God will give me strength. I can't last the storm. God will calm the sea. I can't step out. God will be with you. You got to turn your I can't to God will. Because when you put your hope and your trust in God, when you put your faith in the Almighty God, then He will. He will give you the strength to accomplish any task that He has for you. You might be saying, I can't finish the home. Listen, God will give you the strength to finish the home. Right? I can't make this work, marriage work. Guess what? Guess who can? God can. God will. Amen. You got to change your perspective from I can't to God will. The next thing we have to change is our commitment. Come on, somebody. Everybody say commitment. Now, everybody say, try to say it with a smile on your face. It comes out different. Say commitment. See, it's different. Romans chapter 12. Let's go back there. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. What we're seeing here is when he was saying your bodies, he was saying that you have to offer everything that you are as a living sacrifice to God. All that we are. And you can put Matthew 22:37 up while I go there. All that you are, everything that you have to give to God. Everything that you give it to God, right? Sometimes the problem is we think church is the other thing, right? We think God, our relationship with God is the other thing. But your relationship has to be the thing. Not the other thing. It has to be the thing. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Now let's say it all together. Ready? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Now you got to preach it. Ready? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now turn to your neighbor and preach it to them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You might be saying he's out of his mind. No. See, this is with everything that you got. You can't hold nothing back from God. It all belongs to him. You got to love the Lord your God with everything that you got. With all your worship, with all your praise, right? With all your tithes, your offerings. Come on, somebody. You got to say, God, I love you more. I love you more than I love anything else in this whole world. Everything I have belongs to you. And I give it to you because I love you with everything. I love you more than I love that pipe. Come on, somebody. I love you more than I love that cigarette. Come on. I love you more than I love the club or the bar or all that junk. I love you more. Because when you offer your body as a living sacrifice, right, then you're no longer able to offer anything else as a sacrifice. Right? We've given too many sacrifices. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, you done sacrificed your whole paycheck one time. And it was rent week, and you know it. It was the bill money. But when you offer everything that you have to God, everything that you have, heart, mind, soul, to God. See, the thing that I know is doing things halfway won't get you all the way to God's plan for your life. Doing things halfway won't get you all the way to God's plan for your life. Right? What happens when two are in a relationship and one's only halfway in? Right? You know what happens when someone's halfway in? That also means they're halfway. So if you're halfway in with the Lord, that means you're halfway out with the Lord. Oh, man. Help me, Jesus. Somebody say, help me, God. Say, God, I need a raise. Well, you've been only given half effort at your job. So how about you only get half a paycheck? Mm-hmm. It's time for a change. Next thing we have to change is our behavior. You go and put Colossians 3:5 up. The Bible says to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. It says holy. What does holy mean? Set apart for the Lord, right? What does holy mean? Colossians 3:5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. All these things, it's like worshiping a false idol. All your earthly, what does that mean, your earthly nature, right? Your flesh, right? Oh, you're feeding your flesh all the time. It's like, what I want, that's what I want. It's like, and you know it's wrong. My question is how come everything that tastes so good, I can't eat on my diet? Right? That's all I want to know, God. Earthly nature. I know it might feel good, but that don't mean it good. Temporary, 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 temporary sensation. Temporary, right? What is earthly and what is the flesh is just temporary. That'll lead you down the road of destruction. Oh, but when you get in tune with what God has for your life, when you get lined up with the Word of God, when you begin to fill yourself with the Word of God and do and act and behave according to the Word of God, then all the you'll get more joy than you ever did with those temporary fulfillments that were leading you down the wrong way. Right? Who wanted to wake up in jail? That's where it got you. Yeah, I know it was fun. But, you know, if you ain't got no bail money, you gotta sit the 90 days. Come on, somebody. Listen, but when you do something, when you walk a word into the word of God, right? When you then that instead of something temporary, you get something eternal. You get a look in your kids' eyes and see how proud they are of you. Right? Right? You're able to buy when they turn 16, 17, and instead of you not being there, you're locked up, you get to buy them a vehicle. Right? And they could drive. You could teach them how to drive. Right? Instead of seeing them ponchos or whatever all drawn on and stuff, and little necklace crosses and stuff. Instead of doing that, you could be there and teach them how to drive. It's eternal. It's not worth it. Change your behavior. Amen. The next thing we have to change, and if I can get the keyboard player up, and I'm not talking about anybody specific, so don't look at your neighbor when I say this. Eyes forward. The next thing you have to change is your attitude. See, all y'all, you looked at each other. I told you not to. I told you. The Bible says, your body is as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. My question to you, is your attitude pleasing to God? Is your attitude pleasing to God? Your attitude, everything always negative. Right? You're Mr. and you're Mrs. Negative. Right? Nothing could ever turn out right. Nothing could ever go right. And no one's ever going to make it. No one's ever going to succeed. Nothing nice is ever going to happen. Right? Your attitude. Or when someone asks you, could you help me move these chairs? Boom, attitude. Right? Attitude. You know what I've learned? I have a cat, right? Love my cat. He's a little toe biter, but whatever. But attitudes, bad attitudes are like litter boxes. If you don't change them, so let me back up. Bad attitudes are like litter boxes. If you don't change them, then it doesn't matter which room you're in. Doesn't matter if you're down the hallway. Doesn't matter if you're on the front porch. It all stinks. Change your attitude. Attitude. Attitude of victory. Attitude of we can make it. Attitude of they can make it. Yeah, be encouraging. I like how it goes on. It says, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need to have a new mind. Say, God, I don't want to think the same way I've been thinking. I don't want to have attitude. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to be less lustful or prideful or all those things. But I want a new mind. I want to be a new person in Christ. I want to be a new person. When you used to say no, you say, oh, no, I don't want to go evangelize. I don't want to go help pass out flyers. I don't want to go life group. I don't want to be a part of ministry. I don't want to. Listen, why don't you try saying yes once in a while? Yes. Renew your mind. You can do it. Do you know why you could do it? Because God created you to do it. You could do it because God made you to do it. You convinced yourself you can't do it. You've convinced yourself, no, I'll never be, I can never do, I never will. But God is saying, I made you so you can do. I made you so you can succeed. I made you so you can have victory. To fulfill your call, your purpose, He put it inside of you. He put it inside of you. Renew your mind. No more of the old. We got to make some changes. I have a question for you tonight as you all stand. My question tonight is, what change do you have to make? What is it that you have to make? Listen, I want to play football and basketball with my son. I don't want to be walking around. I'm 37. I don't want a walker or a cane. I mean, canes are cool. But I don't want that. I want to shoot my jump shot. I want to go bowling. But in order to do that, I have to make some changes. What do you want to do? Do you want to have victory over sin? Do you want to have victory over compromise? Do you want to walk in the calling that God's called you to do? Do you want to start a life group? Do you want to preach the gospel? Do you want to be a head usher? Do you want to be on the worship team? What do you want to do? Maybe you want to go to the UTC. Maybe you want to travel the world. Maybe you want to go to the next women's thing in Amsterdam or wherever it is. Maybe they say, I want to do that. You're going to have to make some changes. If you don't change, nothing will change. What change do you want to do? What change do you know that you need to make? Take 10, 15 seconds. Say, you know what? If I would just change this one area of my life. Some of you, you might be new or you might be in the home. You're saying, I need a change. I don't want to be addicted anymore. When I get out of the home or whatever happens, I don't want to go back to drugs. I want to change. I want my kids to be proud of me. I want to new life. I don't want to go back to jail or prison or I don't want to do any of that anymore. I want something to change. Maybe it's your attitude. You see, I need to change my attitude. I don't even like to hang around with myself. So you know what? Make that change. Maybe it's your perspective. Maybe you see everything, the trial, and you don't see the master. You gotta make the change. You know what the greatest part is? That changed people can change the world. That if you would just change, then your whole family would be changed. If you would change, your whole neighborhood would be changed. If you would just change, oh, that your whole city. Oh, we can do so many things for God. But it starts here. If you'd be willing to change, then God could use you to change the world. So my question to you tonight is, what do you need to change? What is it? You can't put down the drugs or the cigarettes or the attitude or the lust. You can't put down the pride. Don't you think it's time for a change? And finally walk into the plan that God has for you. If that's you here tonight, as they begin singing this song, you say, I need to make a change.
I won't let go.
Then I want you to make your way out of your seat. And come to the altar.
Will you change my name? I'm no longer.